Greetings, everyone. This is Koku from the Bitter Medicine Podcast, inviting you to tune in to the Bitter Medicine Podcast on KWAZ Radio.
Peace, family. This is Oni, inviting you to listen to the pro-black perspective, where black problems are addressed with black solutions.
Welcome to episode 20 of the Harsh Reality Podcast. I'm your host, DA, and I'm joined by my esteemed co-host, the first, the one and only, Mr. L. Miguel.
He back.
And unfortunately, our director of media relations and resident fact checker rides a little under the weather. So we're going to go old school this episode with a two-man show because the show must go on, right? And on this podcast, plan to hit around various topics revolving around the latest news, business, family life, hip-hop, social commentary, any recent headlines that affect our community. Disclaimer, as always, by no means are we experts, just everyday people with a small platform here to add our two cents to the various subjects we plan on discussing today. And also make sure y'all go follow the Harsh Reality Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Get those numbers up. Firstly, I got a shout, Melanated Conscious Society, MCS, headquartered in Jacksonville, Florida, is a mentorship organization teaching various life skills as well as knowledge of self to our youth. Make sure y'all go follow them on Facebook and Instagram for latest news, meetings, and valuable information. And also shout out to the KWAZ Radio family. KWAZ providing the latest and greatest and conscientious-oriented content. Follow them on all forms of social media, as well as subscribe to the Bitter Medicine Podcast hosted by Koku, the Pro-Black Perspective hosted by Oni, and also Queens Council hosted by Sharice. And lastly, the podcast is now on Patreon. Please donate. Of course, all proceeds go to upgrading the show and providing the best content we can for our loyal listeners. And also for those looking to be featured in our business spotlight, or just looking to reach out, just drop us an email at theharshrealitypod@gmail.com. Now, without further ado, let's get into the topics. First thing I got down here is Slim Stimmy. We're going to do a quantitative look at the cost for the black vote with old Joe. And also, maybe what should our people do with their newfound hush money? Talking about the Stimmy's there. So what you got?
Yo, that drink, they... We out here stimmy-turnering people, yo. Yeah, stimmy-turnering people. it's kind of crazy, right? Like, you know, the whole, you know, I can't say some of the reactions that I've heard for the reason why people voted for Joe Biden was anything but the stimmy, but a lot of people I talked to and a lot of the long Facebook posts I've seen was that he was promising stimulus checks immediately. And you know, and it's kind of crazy. What are we, 12% of the population? You know, so what's that, 36 million roughly? And then if you probably take maybe 2/3 of that, people that actually probably qualify. So times 0.66 times 1400. So pretty much for like, maybe like what? I don't know how much that is. What's that? Maybe my calculator. Well, it's not worth it, pretty much, right? 1,400 times about what? Maybe about 20 million?
I seen a brother do a math on it. Basically, it would have been, it should be about 1.9 trillion was handed out to everybody, which is not, you know, people above 75, I think, don't get it. If you're a couple over 150 or something like that, you don't get it. All kind of shit, right? But basically, you'll be about 6 stacks a piece. So for 1,400, you know what I mean? So what you looking at? Maybe 20%?
Yeah, I did 22 million, you know, times 1,400 just to get a kind of rough estimate. And we're looking at 30 billion. Is that?
And it's $1.9 trillion. You know, that's pennies on a dollar right there.
Pennies on a dollar.
That's pesos, you know what I mean?
That's Dogecoin. Dogecoin. You know, they just pretty much gave us share of Dogecoin. You know, I think it's something that we should Now, granted, I understand a lot of people are going to be able to pay their rent this month, and a lot of people might be able to pay a lot of the bills and catch up on some things. But on a grand scale of things, you know, we what was it? What was Trump's? What was he saying? He was going to give us half a trillion.
Well, he said at least two stacks. A full two stacks, and he also said something about he if they really want to do it, just do a bill with just the stimulus money, not all this pork.
That's other stuff.
Yeah. Millions to the arts, you know, and all this other crap they got in there, you know, gender studies and things of this nature. Planned Parenthood getting money, of course. You know, they got to get their piece. It's ridiculous the amount of pork. The thing that killed me, man, I'm looking at my phone as, you know, as it gets regular news updates, which I don't know how to turn that crap off because it's always something negative. But it was like life-changing stimulus payments sent out. Like, this is NPR news, too. This ain't like no, you know, run-of-the-mill, never-heard-of news outlet. It's like NPR, like one of the top five in the United States. Life, where's $1,400? Life-changing when the average rent in this country, like, what, $900? Something like that.
I know if you're looking at least $2,100 for the average rent.
I'm just say across the United States, across the board, period. I think the one bedroom like $900 in most places. Yeah. You know what I mean? So how is this life changing? A month of rent and some groceries. And we've been in a pandemic or whatever for a year now. Over a year. It was 2 weeks to stop the curve a year ago. We had the anniversary not too long ago. And you said life altering. And I seen that speech. I see part of the speech by Kamala, man. I had to turn off about 5 minutes in. Like, this is for all. She gave the touchdown spike speech. Like, she was like when Nino Brown was handing out turkeys in New Jack. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. Yo. Who is watching this? Like, who's celebrating like this? So it was just nuts, man. This whole administration is kind of.
Unfortunately, I mean, with Kamala, right, we've seen that black women, she can do no wrong in the eyes of the black woman for that demographic. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we can't really and we kind of, you know, but well, we'll talk go further into, you know, one of the following topics about who they're targeting. But, you know, they're, you know, as long as the black woman is happy, then. You know, they don't really even care about the black man, you know, and, you know, this stimmy money. What I'm fearful of is now that everybody got their money, when they start rolling out all this crazy stuff, Joe going to be like, I gave you what you asked for. You know what I mean? A transaction completed, you know, it was he already said, what was that black, when they had the Zoom meeting, he already pretty much was like, man, I'm in a White House now. All these demands and stuff. Y'all better kick rocks. You know, he already said, yo, well, who you wanted? Me? He said, you know, he already let us know that he is the black person's savior, the black man's savior, you know. And so, you know, it's just unfortunate because, as we know, a lot of this semi money going to go to Jordans and maybe some rims.
Red Lobsters, maybe.
Yeah, Red Lobsters. I'll probably go to Red. I'll probably go to fuck with the Chow's off that 14. Wagyu. Give me some Wagyu.
Hey, you go to Salt Bay's joint. You going to
Nah, bro. he out of pocket. Salt Bay out of pocket. He know what he doing too. But you know what? Salt Bay kind of swole too. He kind of swole.
All you that protein, he, bro.
You yeah, all that. Yeah. Pause.
No hobo.
You know, but you know, it's just one of those kind of concerning things where we sell that's what we always say, we sell our vote so cheap, yeah. We sell our support so cheap, and I mean, $1,400 couldn't get you two pair of resale Jordans right now.
Yeah, that's not a lot of money, man. And like you said, if you're up north, that ain't nothing, man. If you're in New York or something, where you know you got. Paying $1,500 to live in a shoebox, you know what I mean? So,
Kuna can with no windows.
Exactly.
Who gave that vote up for free? It's just I hope in the near future we can actually come together and have some kind of demographic delegation of our own that can properly advise our people on what to do. Being that they kick off all of our leaders that actually speak some sense for progression. and replaced them with interviews with like Cardi B, you know, and not knocking Cardi, but you know, she's not, it wouldn't be fair to her as an entertainer to now be the face of, or any other entertainer to now be the voice of reason in the face of a lot of political issues, you know, like T.I. did it, and he's getting hammered right now in the media, right? Like, yeah. You know, so, you know, I think, you know, we could have used like a Minister Farrakhan and be like, you know, to maybe say, yo, you about to go vote for this man that been locking you up for $1,400 for maybe $6,000, you know, like an average family of four, right? So you probably got $6,000. Like, that ain't shit, you know, and it's
unfortunate. And I was talking, it's funny you mentioned that too, because I was talking to a brother last night, man. And that's one of the things he brought up. He was like, but he was doing it, you know, he's very, you know, Democrat in nature or whatever. So he was like, you know, I understand, you know, they say these entertainers and stuff shouldn't be leaders, but who else has this platform like a LeBron James or whoever entertained, he was mentioning a Cardi B or whatever. But I'm like, that's a false dichotomy in itself. It's like their whole income is based on the fact that people like them. You know what I'm saying? They don't have a separate platform. They control by the ops, if you want to call it that. The minute they step out of line, they gone. I watched Craig Hodges win 2 3-point contests in a row. And the minute he went to the White House in the dashiki, you ain't hear from that brother no more. Couldn't get a free agent. You know, Dickie Simpkins got signed, but Craig Hodges, 3-point leader, can't get a contract now. So it's like you're controlled even more when you're in that position of an entertainer, because an entertainer is directly dependent on Hollywood. They can make you disappear in a second. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's the guy name that just did the movie on when the cop shot his kid and he went and got revenge, and then they shot him at the end of the movie? You know what I'm talking about? I forget that actor's name. He did Birth of a Nation. He directed right? Dang. But remember, you know, he's
blackballed. That's not bad.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he got blackballed with Birth of a Nation. That joint, didn't they pull that out of the movie theaters?
Oh yeah, somebody had bought the distribution, and then I think he went straight to, after the allegations came out, went like straight to DVD or something like that.
Look at American Gods. You know, Orlando Jones? You know, played the African god who was very, very vengeful for how they were doing his worshipers, you know, being an Americans in the slave trade, and always talked about getting revenge. And this was an actor. He didn't write that role. He just acted the role. And he had to go, right? So it's like, you know, at what point, you know, did, you know, somebody pissed them off and even kicked off something that was already written in. Like, they didn't even just remove the act, like change the actor. They removed the whole role from the narrative, and he was a pretty important role in the story. So, you know, it's just kind of crazy how when you throw a little bit of money in it with one comma, you know, it's only one comma, you know. Yeah, I could see if it was two commas in, we'd be talking something, you know, or even maybe five digits, but four digits, one comma, and we're probably stuck with this president for the next 8 years.
That dude didn't make no 8 years. You mean Kamala?
Yeah.
That's what you're gonna get. Even maybe next election, I would say, man, I watched the new press conference earlier. This dude forgot his Secretary of Defense name. He was like, you know what I'm talking. And then, you know,
for the Chicago, hey Joe.
My man's buddy, you know, buddy that I hired, you know. Mm-hmm. Man, he does that all the time too, and they just act like it doesn't exist, man. He won't take questions a lot of things unless the questions are pre-planned and stuff like that. So you could just see the cognitive. That's not no, you know, conspiracy theory or nothing. It's just, if you watched any of the videos, you can see it with your eyes. You know, a lot of people had older relatives who had, you know, dementia, mental decline as they get older. You can just see it. You know what I mean? So I don't see, you know, 8 years, man.
I think and what's sad is that it looks like they're Botoxing his face so bad that he can't move his face in the conferences. I don't know if you peeped that, but like he talks, and even when he gets feisty and starts getting a little spicy with the reporters, his face don't even move. Change expression. I said that gotta be horrible when you probably gotta be forced to get Botox.
It's almost elder abuse, man. It's like, man, let this dude, he been in politics for 48 years, man. Let him go out into the pasture. He didn't did a good job.
You know? Let Joe go.
Robbing and pillaging for 48 years. Let him chill out, man. This dude was in politics when Sanford and Son was in the first season, bro. Let him go out and do his thing, bro. So, you know, I think that's the plan anyway. We're going to see what it's going to bring, I think, with Kamala. But on a positive note, let's say what people should do. If you're going to take your hush money, what should you do with your hush money? I say one thing I've been telling people big time is digital currency, whether you like it, whether you think it's, you know, going to be the catalyst for, you know, future authoritarian type of behavior in the future. You're not stopping that train. It's going to be a steady push as these $2 trillion is handed out, which I want to say almost 60% of the money, some ridiculous amount, just been printed this past year. So the dollar, I don't see it holding up too long. So I would say Bitcoin been booming. I want to say it was above 60K last time I checked. So that's one thing I would tell people, like, start looking to these different cryptos, man. You do have some legit, some are more stable than others. Some of my garbage coins, you just need to do your research, but I would say that's one avenue. And real estate booming, as crazy as it is, I would hold off because I could see a crash coming. But I say within the next 6-7 months, man, you might be able to snatch up some real estate. And one thing I was telling somebody is land always goes up. You know, you can't make more land. It is what it is. You always get more people, but the amount of land present don't stay the same. So that's one thing I'll say. I know 1400 ain't, you know, land or nothing. Get you,
yeah,
most places. But if you get with a couple of people, man, make a plan, maybe, you know what I'm saying? I'll put it with some other chips. Hopefully you've been stacking some chips up, man. Even if you can grab 2 or 3 acres somewhere, man, that'll be probably be big in the future.
I would say, I think one of the benefits of the coronavirus, you know, over this last year is that we've seen a great need for certain type of things. I think there's great opportunities for a lot of small businesses, right? So I would say, and I'm not talking about like even full-time businesses. Like one of the things that I seen was like ATMs. Like they weren't taking, like if I needed cash for something, which it was very rare, but I've started going in places where there was no ATM machines, which was very odd to me. And I was like, damn, I should just go put an ATM in here, you know, and stuff like that, you know, like find out, you know, a bunch of things like that. And I would say, you know, take that $1,400 and go use it, you know, turn that asset and go buy some expenses that can turn around and flip your money. I would say if you only have $1,400, crypto, I would say, yeah, put it, if you're going to pick a crypto, I'd say Ethereum or Bitcoin, something that you know is going to rise. Or even like Acoin, man. Acoin went from 15 cents a share to 45 cents a share. We mentioned Acoin on a previous episode, in which if you would have put $10,000 down, you would have quite almost tripled your money, right? But, you know, I would say just don't blindly throw it into stocks. I kind of agree with you. I kind of like the crypto market. It just makes more sense than the stock market. You're seeing a lot of inflated stocks. I think the stock market, the traders actually and the brokers actually realized that much like Jordans and any other thing, you know, product, that if you overhype it, people are dumb. Like, you know, look at a lot of these companies that came out, had IPOs like Airbnb, and people hopped on Airbnb. How you gonna sell that as a service and mark it up at $127 a share when people can't even travel, you know, and people really bought into that. So, you know, they found a way to take people money. They know that they got to get the money quick, fast, and in a hurry. And a lot of that is brought on by, you know, marketing. So I would say Bitcoin, but also, you know, if you have, you know, if you doing people nails, because, you know, you might be comfortable doing nails or doing hair. In these times, you know, you might not want to go to random places, man. Go, I would say, turn that into a form of cash flow. Go get all the expenses. That $1,400 could probably get you everything that you need, minus the license, and probably some states, you know, probably buy you a license too under the table. But make sure, you know, it's nothing wrong with incurring expenses as long as that they have some value to them, right? Like, and people make fun of the sneaker game, but I know people that's out here flipping sneakers and probably bringing in about $5K a week, you know, like that $1,400. You know, just find something that could bring some value. Don't just, and I'm be honest, or spend it. I know me personally, I'm not really hurting for money. I've been fortunate, been blessed during these times. And I'll probably use that money to take my kids on vacation and to give back to them because they've been holding tight. But for me, I'll say, you know, don't feel pressured to not do what you want to do with the money. Just don't be mad when you spend that money and ain't nothing else coming your way.
You know? Word. I was about to put my $1,400 on scratch off and lottery tickets, bro.
It's not a bad idea.
Go big or go home. I'm going to turn this into $22 million or nothing. You can't miss what you ain't got, right?
Exactly.
But we can just move on to our next topic we got going on here. Breaking down our thoughts on the jab. We're going to call it the jab because saying anything else might get you flagged around this motherfucker. So everybody know what I'm talking about with the jab. They've been pushing, particularly to the black community. Recently I seen the great Marvin Hagler, a boxer, passed away yesterday. According to Thomas Hitman Hearns, everybody remember that
fight.
Yeah, that Martin episode too was Hitman Hearns. You know, that's the classic episode of Martin. I never forget that. But he put up a post talking about how he was fighting effects of the jab, right? Of the jab he got for this pandemic. So and he said that was one of the reasons that took him out, which, I mean, you had people like rushing out saying, oh, that's not true, you know, and things like that. So, you know, I don't want to be one to spread any kind of rumors or nothing. But his post definitely mentioned that he was fighting after effects of the jab. So, you know, what are our thoughts on it, man? Me personally, it's like, first and foremost, just looking at where we are right now, where it's 85 degrees where I'm at. You know, I'm down here in the South. We're officially in spring. And like the brother only said on one previous episode we did of this podcast, just let other people get it and watch. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. You don't have to rush out there and get an experimental. And people need to realize that this joint is not officially approved. It's approved for emergency use, but it's not officially been approved. You are essentially going to be a science experiment until 2023. It's going to take at least 2 years to get official approval. So people need to realize that, you know, weigh your risk and rewards. But from what I'm seeing, man, and I've seen a lot of different, they got this website, VARS, V-A-E-R-S, where you can see basically any side effects from the different, you know, different jabs they got out there. And it's some pretty telling numbers that's not getting reported by the mainstream media. So I would say just hold off. You know what I mean? That's just my thoughts on it.
Yeah, I think, it's funny because I took the brother Oni's word, you know, when he made that statement, couldn't have been a truer statement. And I've been patiently waiting, kind of seeing it. And, you know, some of the videos that come out, granted, you know, if you go by the media, you know, data can always be skewed and they're not really reporting a lot of the negative side effects. Right. We had face paralysis. One lady couldn't stop shaking. And people were dying. Look at the, like, we lost some legends after
Hank
they
Aaron,
got that.
Yeah, Hank Aaron.
You know, and lost some legends that probably weren't in the greatest of health, but probably wasn't on the way out, you know, either. And, you know, it's kind of crazy that they don't even want to draw that correlation. You know, like, all you're seeing is rest in peace. You're not seeing the correlation that he took the jab 3 weeks ago and now he's dead, right? Much like Hank Aaron's case. Like, there's a strong correlation there. You know, first and foremost, rest in peace. You know, I remember my mom was a big boxing fan, and you know, on the, I think the Madison Square Garden channel, I think it was channel 23 back in the day, watching the fight. That was had that Rocky feel. Tommy Hearns versus Hagler, and they right out the gate, round one, them dudes were just swinging lumber, you know, for the whole fight, just very entertaining. Just had that Drago Rocky feel, you know. This was a legendary fight, something that's immortalized, I think, in boxing community. You know, here it is again, we're seeing, you know, kind of one of the things too, right? I haven't really seen too many white legends die, right? Like, yeah. I'm not really seeing too many, you know, narratives out there where you're seeing, you know, some of these other well-known white people passing after getting, you know, jabbed 3 weeks ago, right? Like, so, and that was one of the things is, you know, a lot of reports said that the jab might not be tailored for Asians and blacks. And what we're seeing is that it's just so much a too strong of a correlation between our elderly people just passing after this. And it's like, it's hard.
Yeah, and you have like five of them currently. So you don't even know, you know, and all of them are different. You know, you got the mRNA ones, you got the I think this last one, that Johnson & Johnson joint, is supposed to be like a traditional joint. And it's just so many you got, you know, and it's different types of situations where they send in different ones in different areas, right? So I got to be refrigerated long and all this other stuff. I say at this point, man, just hold off, you know, that's what I recommend. And you spoke earlier to the brother Farrakhan. Farrakhan went out and said, don't do it. And it's crazy because, you know, speaking on, you know, a lot of people that got banned, I know people, a lot of people cheering when 45 got banned or whatever. People don't even realize Farrakhan got the same ban like a year ago. You know what I mean? I think they clipped him and Alex Jones at the same time.
Yeah, they did. They did.
You know what I mean? And nobody, you know, batted an eye, nothing like that. So that's why I say also be cognizant of whose voices they silence out here. They might silence somebody you don't particularly like, and you may cheer that on. But best believe, if you step out of line, you're going to get the same clip. You know what I mean? So yeah, I'm a big proponent myself of, you know, First Amendment rights and all that other stuff, man. And I believe if the best way to combat bad information is put out good information, because the only thing you do when you silence somebody is make it look suspicious anyway. It's like, why this man can't speak? I did a little experiment earlier too, you know what I mean? Speaking of the jab, right? So I get on another cesspool known as Twitter, you know, put out my little tweet. I'm basically like, I can come on here and say, literally this post I'm gonna put, I recommend drinking bleach and raw dogging crackheads. And and nobody's gonna flag it.
Oh, not raw dog and crackheads. That's like the death sentence, bro.
Tell me about it. But if I put anything related to the jab, it's an automatic little flag that comes across the bottom of your post. You know what I mean? Like, you know, go to this website, see official, you know, information and stuff like that. So it's like, how crazy is that, right? I don't remember last year, the other year or whatever, we had people eating Tide Pods.
Hell right? Yeah.
Epidemic levels of people eating Tide Pods, right? Nobody got banished. Nobody got flagged, right? But if I put anything regarding this, it's an automatic flag on me. Yeah, there's so much ridiculous stuff out there on the internet and on these different social media websites that nobody gets flagged. And this stuff can be detrimental to your health, right? This stuff can be things that will get you killed today. It's, you know, playing in traffic type of stuff. You know what I mean? Promoting promiscuous. I can't say that word. You know what I mean? Promiscuity between, you know, you know what I'm saying? But and none of this stuff gets flagged. But anything you say about the jab, anything you say about certain, you know, categories, you automatically get the flag. And it's immediate. You know what I mean? So it got to be some kind of algorithm linked to it. You know what I mean? Yeah,
definitely.
So that's crazy on that. Like I said, my final lyric. And I think a lot of the Muslim brothers down there that come from the temple, man, they went down there to Atlanta the other day to do a little protesting, and then, you know, they went in front of the building where the, you know, the jab is approved from, and then they went out there, you know, made a fuss and let people know that, you know, our people is recommending not to get this for now. So seeing the history of where we at in the history of this country and things like that, you know, I would also recommend that too. If I had to look at the pros and cons, we almost at summer, baby. You'll be all right. You know what I'm saying? Get that vitamin C, that vitamin D, get that weight down. Like things that I've been recommending, a lot of people be recommending for everyday health, not just for, you know, a pandemic or nothing. You know what I mean? Just for your everyday health. Get that weight down and get them vitamins in you. You know what I mean? Eat right. Yeah. Things like that.
I do have a friend. He's in crazy good shape. And he actually just got over COVID. He said that shit was bad. He said it was really bad. But, you know, he naturally beat it. And I think he was down for a week, you know. So, you know, like you said, getting the weight down. And I'll say this too, because I've recently been cutting a lot of weight, but I haven't been running and doing cardio so much just because of time. And your cardio, you can be skinny and still be not fit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, we've seen that
before. You got to work on your, you know, working on your cardiovascular system, you know, walking, running. I would say run, you know, what doesn't kill you make you stronger. And if you died and, you know, it's bound to happen sooner or later anyway, you know? So, yeah, just, you know, vitamin D, you know, getting outside. Weather's starting to break up north. So, I know I'm stuck in the house doing homework probably after this, but, you know, I'm excited. I'm excited to be able to go outside and run without a North Face jacket on. You know, like, so yeah, man, that is just, you know, rest in peace to the hitman. Is, you know, unfortunately, he probably won't be the last victim of the jab. But, you know, it's been hopefully we, you know, it's, you can't even say that it was that, right? That's the crazy part. But
exactly.
We're not stupid. We're not stupid. And, you know, hopefully, you know you high risk and you're elderly or you got grandparents out there that are thinking about getting it, you know, allow them, you know, just tell them, show them some of these things, draw the correlation between them that, you know, and let them make a educated decision on whether to inject yourself with something that could potentially kill them.
Exactly. Just be able to get all that. Like you said, the mainstream news is not going to give you every information. You know, they're greatly controlled as well. So, you know, a lot of old people too, they're not looking for alternative, you know, sources of news. They're not, you know, going through podcasts and going through different types of alternative news and, you know, reading different articles from different sources other than, you know, the main, what, five or six companies that control 90% of the news out there. So, mm-hmm. So you gotta relay it to them sometimes, because the mainstream kind of is like a constant stream of just fear porn, man, just constant fear and things like that. And that's one thing, you know, I will give the previous administration, although I had my issues with them, at least you've seen some positive stuff every once in a while, man. It seems like we're just dealing with a lot of negative right now. And I don't want people to get, you know, over flooded with negative type of connotation, because that lowers your immune system as well. When you're constantly flooded with doom and gloom,
yeah,
it definitely, you know, has an effect on your mental as well as, you know, your physical and your immune system. So, and your ability to fight off things. So keep it positive always, man. Getting that sun when you can too. So let's segue into our next topic we got here with the George Floyd trial coming up. And recently we seen that the family just got a settlement from the city of Minneapolis. Was it Minneapolis? Was it a suburb? I can't remember. But they settled for $27 million as payment to the family. And as we are aware of, usually the settlement prior to trial usually foreshadows not guilty verdict. At least that's how I seen it in my eyes. So what do you think? What's your thoughts on the trial? What do you think is going to happen? And in terms of the trial and in terms of the aftermath, you know what I'm saying? So I'm going to shoot that over to you.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the nail. I think when we see these payouts, normally we see the payouts afterwards. I think, right, because it's usually civil that they settle. And then, you know, they, you know, usually find an initial not guilty verdict of, like, what is he being charged for, murder too?
Yeah, I think they put them all on table, though. I think it's two. And I think they opened up three on the table too.
They opened three back on the table because they took three off the table. And I think they put it back on. But, you know, initially they said that we don't see, you know, they pretty much said, you know, we don't think that that's that. And it's like, well, the whole world seen what it was, you know. I think at the very least he might get like maximum manslaughter, or they might make an example of him. I think that the George Floyd thing, and I don't want this to sound insensitive, but all of these killings by police officers against black men and women, the George Floyd thing is not even the most egregious thing we've seen. It was sad because it took a long time, but we've seen black young men get gunned down. We've seen a 12-year-old kid get gunned down. I think that they might make an example out of the police officer. I would hope so. But at the same time, that $27 million is a heavy price tag. And I'm pretty sure, knowing how grimy, you know, politicians and law could be, that they're there's probably hush money. It's probably hush money. They probably had to sign some things that they can't even talk about. Because let's be honest, $27 million is a lot of money, and it won't bring George Floyd back anyway. Unfortunately, that money still comes from the community. You know, that's not hurting anybody's pockets, but the community's pockets.
Yeah, taxpayer dollars right there, man.
Yeah, so, you know, I think we're bracing for another episode of heartbreak, and probably in a form of not guilty, you know, for murder, but they'll probably give him manslaughter. And then, well, are they? I think they're charging the other two cops too, right? I think.
Yeah, that trial is later in the year. I want to say August or something like that. The other three cops, from my perspective, what I'm looking at, if you look at because this is a longer tape, man. If you look at the whole dash cam footage, you got like an hour or something of, you know what I mean? He was in the car. He told him to take him out the car, and you know what I mean? They found what fentanyl in the system and all these other things, which none of this justifies, you know, putting your knee on somebody's neck, you know, for 8 minutes and whatever seconds. But going by, you know, what it takes to get somebody convicted of a murder charge, I can very well see that the letting the man walk. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, definitely. They already tried to spin the he was high thing, right? Narrative. And there's so much case law of cops dealing with people high off the influence and, you know, if there's 100 cases of a person high dying and they can use that in case law. I just, you know.
How you office a doubt? A guilty of a murder charge, you got to be beyond a shadow of a doubt. So all you got to do is get that 10% doubt. You don't got to get 50%. It's not like civil trial. It's just like, you know what I mean? It's like you have to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt this person is guilty of this. And I don't think you're going to get 12 people to say that, you know, this cat is guilty of murder or things like that. So I can already see, you know, the writing on the wall. The thing is, you know, I don't want to see the aftermath of what it's going to be. They're already talking about a lot of jurors. They had to dismiss because they said they didn't want, you know, retaliation on their families and stuff like that. And we saw what happened last summer with, you know, police station going up in flames and all that other stuff. And what I could see is a crazy summer, man. I think just all the pieces are in place for it to be a crazy summer between people been locking their crib for a year. You know, had schools in a lot of places where these teens ain't had no. A lot of these households, you know, particularly in poor households, where you got teenagers, the only authority figures they get come across is at school. You know what I mean? Their parents might be working two jobs to make ends meet, things like that. So the only form of discipline they get, the only form of, you know, mentorship and things like that they get is from the schoolhouse. And they've been on virtual and not been going to school. I seen a crazy stat, like 3 million kids ain't even report the virtual or because the school's been closed. They ain't been going to school. So there's 3 million kids just chilling for a year. So now you finna get a hot summer. You finna get a lot of emotions flying. So I just see the recipe for a crazy summer this year. And you know what I mean? I recommend everybody be safe out here, man. You know, had record gun sales this year. Yeah. It's the writing's on the wall for some crazy stuff to go down. Mm-hmm. And this could be the catalyst for it, particularly with this. And I question the time of the trial. You got, like you said, you got the weather breaking, right? They could have had this joint in December. You know, why you need so much discovery? All the evidence right there. You got dash cam. You got all this evidence. You got the other cops witness. Why does it need to take, you know, I question the timing of at the breaking of spring. You know, you're going to bring out this, you know, very emotional trial right now. We already seen some joints happen last night because it was Breonna. Well, I think it was this weekend out in some places. You had some crazy stuff going on because Breonna Taylor's anniversary of her death. So just imagine what this joint gonna bring. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. You know, on the flip side, looking at the other end of the spectrum as well, if they were to charge him with a guilty verdict, I'm curious, you know, because we all know that a lot of these guns that were being purchased ain't being purchased by the Black community. You know, majority of those gun sales are being purchased probably by, and I work with a guy, and this dude buy a gun every Wednesday. Every Wednesday he goes and buys a gun, you know, and it's like, and he don't even shoot them. He just buy them. And he's a very introverted guy, very socially not really He don't have his thumb on society. It's almost like he'd been locked in a cave for 30 years. Some of the stuff that he says is like very dated and very like whimsical. Like he doesn't really have a true idea of, you know, as far as other people's cultures and stuff, which kind of happens. I'm in IT, if anybody didn't know. So you deal with a lot of these introverted guys. But I'll say this, because he's so smart, any threat that threatens the way that he wants to live in a way that he believes, you know, when we're talking about like not just a conversation, but like when people start mobilizing, this dude probably got about 70 guns ready to go. And, you know, I think we're kind of, you know, with this Trump, with Trump being on the outs, you know, I think these, you know, a lot of these people still praying on, you still seeing people praying that he gets back in the White House this year, yeah. You know, like they praying for some, a miracle to happen. These aren't very sane people. These aren't logical people. So I'm hoping that, like you said, that everybody's kind of safe moving forward, regardless of what this is. But, you know, it'd be nice to see justice for once in a while. But, you know, we haven't seen it ever. You know, we haven't seen it in none of these cases. Not Sandra Bland, not what's his name? Castile.
Oh, Philando Castile.
Yeah, Philando Castile. That was like one of the worst cases.
Yeah, that was cut and dry.
Just cut and dry, you know, and this is one of those cases where, you know, we type Tamir Rice. You know, little toy roll boy, we've seen a lot more egregious cases than this. I want to say it wasn't hard to watch and it's not hard to deal with. But when you shooting, gunning down 12-year-old kids, I mean, to me, that's horrible. Yeah. That's horrible, you know, and those cops got away scot-free, you know. And so, you know, I just hope that, you know, the Black community, and I'll not say just the Black community, all communities that, because it wasn't just Black people that were outraged. I know a lot of white people that was like, nah, that's effed up, you know, and a lot of different people that, you know, this is crazy. But I hope people don't take their frustrations out. And I say we have realistic expectations. You know, if you're thinking, you know, history's shown that he's probably not going to be, we're probably not going to get due justice as a society for this. So, you know, if you let yourself down, then that's where the pain and the anger comes in. You know,
emotion,
you know.
Yeah, I see a lot of emotional and sometimes, man, we got away from logical thinking, man. Like you were saying, man, I think you hit a perfect point. We need to get back to kind of being logical about things, man. And when you let emotion control everything, your every move and things, not only do you make, you know, rash decisions that may lead to detrimental results, but you also are easily controlled when you live by emotions, man. Mm-hmm. So, one thing you need to get to. One thing I was making a point of, this dude made like a joke the other day online talking about, you know, I think Roddy Ricch was lying about putting 100 stacks on Zimmerman, right? You know what I mean? But it's like that case right there, if you look at it, this cat at the mall right now, right? Zimmerman at the, and it, all these cases, you know, even with the Mike Brown joint, you know what I mean? I want to say that cop that got off, he between the donations and everything else, man, he made out a millionaire behind that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's somewhere chilling in a mansion right now. And yet you burned down your city. You know what I'm saying? So the person who caused this pain is still on the come up, but you burning down, you know, your neighborhood, reducing the property value that's already down in the dumps of your area. You know what I'm saying? That helps nobody at the end of the day. The point I always make, when I go home, I can't even stay in the neighborhood half the time I grew up in, because it's nothing there. It's not that I'm scared or fearful, don't want to stay there, but it's like I would love to be in the area with the people I, you know and all that other stuff, but I can't get a smoothie, I can't go to the gym, you know, the things that, yeah, you know, have increased, you know, things I know I need to do on a daily, even getting a Starbucks coffee, you know, ain't no Starbucks putting nothing up in the hood, you know what I mean? It's not happening. So it's like now you burn it down. Maybe the few stores that did venture into your area, you may not own it, but it does bring up property value to have shit to walk to. If you go to Zillow, it's a walking code on Zillow. It says what stuff is within a walking distance of your area, along with, you know, the crime statistics, the schools, the quality of the schools and things like that. That's what makes your property more valuable. That's your investment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And all you're doing is making your grandma and granddaddy and them crib more worthless by burning down these Targets and Walmarts and stuff like that. Yeah, they got insurance. But guess what? Now you still going to have to get on the bus, go to the other side of town and enrich another neighborhood where people don't look like you. So you lose either way. So that's the point I make to people, man. You can make all this about, oh, we don't own this. These stores ain't ours and all that. But if you ain't got nothing in your neighborhood, bro, what are you benefiting? Who's that benefiting? You know what I mean?
I want to say, I think the Mike Brown case, even because they released that second video too, where you could clearly see, and I can't say that 100% sure, but you know, knowing what I know, just from it looked like a drug deal. It looked like Mike Brown gave him some bud, and you know, he and in exchange the night prior, he got a box of cigars. And he didn't take the cigars. He came back in the next day, dealt with a different person, and the person didn't want to give him the cigars. So, you know, that was, you know, if they showed you, you know, and I want to say the local police showed you what they wanted to show you. But that was 2 days worth of video. They showed you the first, they showed you the second day worth of video. Now, I'm not stupid. They probably went back to look at when's the first time he came in the store. But they only show the public what they wanted to see. Mm-hmm. All you see was him snatch a box and mush the person and walk out. You didn't see that. He gave the guy the night prior something, and the dude put a bag behind the counter for him the next day. And then there was another guy that he dealt with. It was a miscommunication. And I've dealt with Middle Eastern and Indian people growing up, and a lot of them are racist. I'm gonna completely say it. You know, they look down on a lot of these poor communities that they have the liquor stores and deli stores in. They'll sell you crap food and alcohol all day, but you know, they'll accuse your kid of stealing as soon as he get in the store. You know, and so you know, that one guy probably just didn't have the same rapport with Mike Brown. You know, so which is unfortunate. But you know, saying that just to piggyback off of how the media kind of, you know, how they kind of sway these jurors, you know? So, yeah.
A lot of these things are more nuanced than you think, man. They show you like a 4 or 5 minute clip. You know, it might be a very emotional clip. You know what I mean? It might be things you've seen, but you got to keep in mind, it might be weeks. It might be hours, you know, months of incidents prior that might have led to these incidents. That's why I kind of try to evaluate every situation on its face value. When you start to go to monolithic thinking, and one side of thinking is kind of when you get jacked up, right? You start to see a good versus evil type of dichotomy instead of, you know, this is one asshole cop over here. Do what you got to do and get him about the paint. You know what I mean? Even if you got a fucked up department, you know what I mean? Get that department about the paint. They had a police department down here in Stark, Florida, where they found them cats like purposely just pulling people over. You know, anybody that passed through the department was corrupt. They was letting people off. They was, you know, targeting certain demographics with, you know, pumped up tickets and things like that. They got the whole department about the paint, bro. Replacing with the state police. You know what I mean? So I make that point, too, is like it's almost like we basketball fans. Right. It's like if you found out like, you know, the Lakers was cheating. Right. They was, you know, pumping up the bats, paying off the refs, you know what I mean? Pumping up the basketballs, you know, paying the refs to get them different calls and things. And you went out and said, yo, the whole NBA must be defunded because these Lakers, because they out here cheating, right? But it's like, it's 32 teams. Which team you talking to? A specific player you talking about that's cheating? Is it, we ain't trying to hear that. The whole league got to go. You know what I mean? So that's the kind of how I look at it, man. It's like, need to target the problems where you got problems at. Because at the end of the day, the same people that's saying, like, we don't need police and all that other stuff, somebody breaking to take your rims off your car, the first thing you doing is hollering at the police.
Let me tell you some funny stuff that happened the other day, right? So my mom, she be talking real, real spicy sometimes, right? But the other day, now I'm in isolation on COVID protocol, right? I don't have COVID, but, you know, I'm isolating. And so my mom got a spam call. And I don't know the contents of the spam call. She would not tell me what they said, but she ended up calling 911. Bro, I've never seen nothing in my life where you get a spam call. You know, I guess they were talking about they already had her identity, right? And, you know, it can go down this whole rabbit hole, right? Because if they already have your identity, why are they going to tell you that they have your identity?
Exactly.
They have your identity, you know, they looking like, oh, shit, we can't even steal nothing from her. You know, like, I ain't nothing to steal, you know? But she called 911, you know? 911 for a spam call. And, you know, it's crazy because she always talk about what she'll do in some situations. It's like, no, you're not. You calling the police. You ain't even call the police. You called emergency services, 911. Call the police. You could have Googled the local police station, which is within walking distance of the crib, and you called 911. You know, so craziness.
I know a lot of people like that, man. You still come home and your dough is kicked in. First thing you doing is calling them people. Come on now. You know what I mean? And that's what they there for. That's what they get paid for. So, you know what I mean? I ain't knocking you for doing that, but don't act like, you know, these people don't serve a useless, a useful service to your community. Because at the end of the day, when something happens, you ain't finna call Ghostbusters. You know what I mean? Like Charles Barkley said, you go call the popo. So, you know, it is what it is. So, but let's go ahead and segue into our next topic. The gender divide continues. This is going to be an interesting one. Goldman Sachs pledges $100 million to Black women only. Should Black men reevaluate their standing with Black women? So I need you to go into detail about the $100 million to Black women. Is that a program or is that like a funding for certain initiatives or what?
Well, it's $100 million per year over 10 years. So it's a combined $1 billion initiative in which they're, I guess, pumping out $100 million to Black women. But like you said, there's no real, couldn't really find too many details on what qualification, like what do you have to do as a Black woman to tap into that $100 million a year? Right. But I found it kind of strange, and we probably get backlash from Black women for this, but why not just give it to Black people? Mm. Like, why specifically target the Black woman? And I know Black women are gonna be like, oh, well, you know, we're oppressed and this and that. And it's like, I can't say I don't feel that, you know, but I think we're all oppressed, right? And and when you're looking at just the gained potential, Black women been killing the game. You know, you still don't make as much as the Black man, right? But it's not like it's a vast difference. It might be like 10 cents on the dollar difference, you know? A lot of times when I had this debate with Black women, it's usually, well, we don't make as much as men. Well, Black men don't make as much as white men, you know? Like, no, not even close. So what, you know, we in this together. Why are you separating us, you know, from it? But I just find it that one of these big banks, and granted, can't knock them, you know, they're at least giving something, but why just the Black woman? You know, what does targeting the Black woman do for the community? And I think the fearful thing as a Black man is that we don't really see Black women rocking with us like that. You know, they are, but then there's a large portion of Black women that are just very, they're very, I think, hurt. I think I don't know if it's from Black men or if it's like pain that's been passed down from seeing how people did their moms and grandmas, but there's a lot of animosity between Black women and Black men, just publicly. Now there's a lot of love that goes around, but I also think that there's a role confusion. And I think when you further divide the economic standing, of the Black man to the Black woman, that's going to exacerbate the problem. Like, it's going to make the problem a lot bigger. Because I think a lot of times it's that women just don't respect men, like Black men. You know, I think with all this TV and love and hip hops and all of this stuff, if you're not lit or balling, it's like, you know, you almost, you know, like you got to be of a certain stature to even approach a certain type of Black woman.
Exactly.
You know? And so it's kind of like, are you giving, you know, if you create that, if you push us further away from being economically viable to our women, that's almost like, come on over. We got they dangling a carrot, like, you know, black men, y'all dating our women, we gonna pull y'all women away. But we not gonna do it through love and protection. We just gonna give y'all money. You know, and it'll probably work. You know, I think that's the scary part. It'll probably work. And you know, a lot of no, it ain't just about that. And look what you know, that's going to be the narrative if somebody hears this. Look what black men, y'all don't really love us. Y'all don't protect us. I hear it all the time. Y'all going to break bread with us? And y'all get that 100 mil? You know what I mean? Is that 100 mil coming back around to the black brothers? Because we damn near show no. If I hit 400 mil, my old lady going to be balling. You know what I'm saying? My side, you know, if you had a side chick, she'd be balling too. You know what exactly. I mean? It's what it is.
And they say, and it's crazy because if you go online, you see a lot of this divide perpetuated, right? It's a lot of this, you know, men versus women type of deal. When, I mean, this doesn't really apply to almost like the real life. It's like a simulation, right? You'll see this divide so vehemently online, but then if you go to the club, it's 10 women line up like, what's up? You know what I mean? So you see this, it's like almost like who's pushing this divide, this initiative. And then when you see things like this, where it's like, all right, we're gonna give, actually it's $10 billion direct investment capital and $100 million in philanthropic capital over the next decade to address the dual disproportionate gender and racial biases that black women have faced for generations. But it's like, you wouldn't even have black men without black women, and black women wouldn't have, you know, wouldn't be here without black men. We are, it's like when you date a woman with kids and say, did we come as a package? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
You're dealing with a package deal. So how could you even fix yourself and this be accepted? I think this will be a situation where it would be up to black women to be like, nah, we not rocking with that. Y'all gotta look us all out. You know what I mean?
But would that happen without telling them to do that? And that's part of our bad leadership in our community, right? But a lot of that is twofold, right? A lot of it is just bad leadership from the men as a whole, and then women's unresponsiveness to be followers when they have these new roles where they can be the leaders. You know, it's a control thing. Do they do that without this? And I don't even think too many people tracking this, right? But do they go and say, well, we, you know, and they don't even have to say we come as a package. When you get the money, just now you go to the black brothers and say, hey, we want to open up some businesses with y'all. You know what I mean? Does that happen? You know, because I know I have a lot of friends that has opened businesses for their girlfriends or their wives. You know, I just don't know. And maybe this might be male chauvinistic of me. You could call it what it is. I don't know if that gets reciprocated to us. The shoes on the other foot, I don't know if we get that same type of love and that same type of trust. And that same type of energy. I just don't. And you know, and this kind of goes back to like how, you know, I don't tell people how they should feel. If women don't feel protected, if women don't feel love, you know, I say, just tell us, show me how you don't feel that way. You know, I want to hear the examples of how you don't feel that way, not just the feeling. But I don't think that we feel included outside of what we can do. If you ask a man, and it's not even just black women, do women love men outside of what they can do for them? I say 7 out of 10 to say no. You know, and so now you're dealing with one of the poorest demographics in the nation, right? As far as men, we're behind Asian men, we're behind white men, probably only above Spanish Latino men, you know, as far as economically. But at least in theirs, they have in their culture, they have a little bit more camaraderie where the family numbers might be lower, but their community is going to bring their money together. It's kind of a scary thing, you know, because, you know, Goldman Sachs is doing it. Now, what if another JP Morgan do it, you know? And now you're looking at, you know, what are black women? Probably 17 million of us. You know, you saying, here, we're going to give a big pot of money to you guys. And, you know, a lot of us, you know, and a lot of black women, I talk to them, they don't want to be married. A lot of black women in a early mid-20s, early 30s are looking for this particular guy, or they just don't want to be married because they don't want to have to deal with the heartache of being accountable. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, and when we say Goldman and Sachs, what we're talking about is, you know, white men. You know, when we talk about Microsoft, well, Microsoft is a white man. it's not just a white man, but the face of it is Bill Gates, who is a white man, you know. So it's not being fearful, but I think it's one of those things where I think as black men, we should evaluate how we lead in our families and our communities, because they're going to get that money. We can't tell the black woman not to go get that money. You know what I mean? That'd be hate, you know, but we have to make it enticing for the black woman to want to bring that money back. Because, you know, the white man going to be like, hey, you know, we got these opportunities over here. We see that you got that $1 million from Goldman and Sachs. You know, let me go show you these things.
Right. I'll say even before then, it's like there is no other. If you look at even like the voting thing, right, we are targeted way more than any other demographic. Right. You don't see a Asian commercial where it's like, get your booty to the polls or something. You know what I mean? Like, you don't see that. Right. Even with initiatives like this, you don't see them saying to, you know, the Arabic woman, you know, we're going to give y'all just money and we're not going to give anybody, because y'all the most. And let's keep it a buck. If you want to go through oppressed women by their men, the Arab community, whoo, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But you're not seeing that initiative, that drive or whatever, like, oh, Goldman Sachs will give $100 million to, you know, Arab women because they so oppressed by their men. You're not seeing that, because you know what would happen if they did that? Them Arab women would go off like, nah, we not going. You know, we, like I said, we a community. We're not a divide. We're not a monolith. It's just black women by ourselves. You know what I mean? We got here with black men. My daddy black and my mama black. So why the hell are you just going to give me the bread? Yeah. So like, that's why I say that would be up a situation where we need to see some outrage by more black women. Because I know personally, if the Goldman Sachs did the same thing, say we just going to give $100 million to black men, I'm like, nah, you better give that $100 million to black families. You know what I mean? I got daughters. How the hell that's going to benefit them? You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to hear that. So I just think we need to have a better sense of community, a better sense of togetherness, and stop letting things like social media and all this other thing, you know, divide us. Because at the end of the day, when we go outside in the real world, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying, what's up to you at the park while kids playing soccer? What's up? What's good where we at the grocery store? If I see something go down, I'm running up and throwing hands on somebody too, because I ain't finna let, you know what I mean, no black woman get beat up in front of me. I don't care how wrong you is in a situation. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. I'm at least going to grab you and break the shit up. You know what I mean? Even if you was too wrong, it's two left shoes. So I think we just need to get this sense of community better. Whereas you can't even come with that nonsense talking about you're going to give $100 million just to one set of demographic in our community. You know what I mean?
Or just show us that you are the ride or die. Hey, look, yo, Goldman and Sachs said they want to give us a couple racks. We're going to take this money and I'm going to give you this because you say you needed tools for this business. You know, I'm not, there are women that do that. I'm not saying that, there's a few women. But I think right now in our community, at least publicly, there's a lot of distrust between black men and black women. And when we're talking about $1 billion over 10 years, $100 million to be dispersed amongst just black women is still a lot of money. It's still a lot of money. You're probably talking about maybe at least 10 grand, you know, and this doesn't look like a loan. This looks like maybe in some form of grants, you know, upon first read through. So, you know, 10 grand, you know, if that stimulus was 10 grand, everybody be happy. You know, but exactly. We, the black man, seems like we're not going to have access. Maybe I should just go identify as a black woman and go fill out an application.
You could.
and then bring, you know, get my LGBTQ plus brothers and sisters to be like, well, how you going to tell him?
Oh, yeah, throw a parade for you. You know what I'm saying? You know, let's go get our Juana man on and, bro, and go dominate the WNBA, bro. I'm down.
Shit. I probably still get smacked right now.
I would too.
Some over there, but I probably still grab 20 boards a night. That's for sure.
Yo, I'll be like the enforcer in the NHL. I just be knocking over people. But I think this ties. I'm gonna go ahead and tie this kind of subject in with the next one too, because I think this fits together. Where we seen recently a lot of backlash online, where I seen they're targeting black barbershops particular for being misogynistic and homophobic. You know, by the usual miserable, bitter Twitter woman crew and the alphabet allies over there. So does this tie in? So like I said, it kind of just disconnect with real life and type of this social media system. So is this a result of clout chasing? Are these people like literally think that, you know, black barbershops and any place where black men, you know, gather are places of, you know, homophobia and misogynistic type of behavior. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy because a lot of barbers I go to, they got female barbers in there. You know what I mean? Especially nowadays and things like that. You know, the barbershop, I don't think is a place where, you know, it's particularly toxic, as they like to throw that word out a lot or whatever. But, you know, you do need places, I will say, where men can talk, you know, freely, you know, even females that work there, you know. But it just in particular, black men, it seems like it's a witch hunt at places where, you know, black men can talk freely. You know what I mean?
But how did they infiltrate the barbershop? You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they got a sample size of them taking their kid to get a haircut once every 60 days, you don't know what the other 59 days are like in that barbershop. You know, I actually grew up, my first job was in the barbershop. I grew up in a barbershop. I have a strong love for barbershops because they're a community corner piece, you know? I'm not going to sit there and say, you know, it's guy talk, just like females talk. You know, there's just certain things that are said in the trust of men. Like, there's certain things I've got when I got my hair twisted, I think maybe like in 2006, 2007, I was sitting in the dryer listening to a bunch of women talk about how they've cheating on their boyfriends and husbands. They forgot I was under the dryer. And then I asked, you know, I raised my hand so because my head was burning. And all of them got stone cold. They went from laughing and kikiing and talking about how they love their husband, but the other dude, D, just so good. And I'm hearing, I'm like 16, 17 years old, bro. And I'm hearing grown women, 40 in their 40s, talking about how they going to premeditate cheating on their husbands. And all of them was shocked when they forgot that it was a man, a young boy sitting in there listening to all of it. You know what I'm saying? So there's certain things that goes on in men, in circles of men and in circles of women, that just might not, it's not all going to be love and peace, right? Because and when it comes down to men and women, you know, when you're talking about love and relationships, that's a war, you know, like that is not, that is not a peaceful thing. You can't even love properly without sacrificing something. So I don't know who infiltrated all the black barbershops in America to say that, all black barbershops. I know some black barbershops that don't even let you talk bad about black women.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
I knew black barbershops couldn't even eat Skittles in that joint. You better straight up. You came with a bag of Skittles and Starburst. Nah, brother, you can't eat that in here. It's all peace and love for real. And you know, pork, you know, before I don't think they make Skittles with pork products but anymore. But you know, it was some of these places are very disciplined. You know, so it's like I haven't seen that narrative from women. But I mean, I would say just give men, you got to give men a place to be men.
You got to have a space. Yes.
Yeah. We don't have that space. You know, we're always under a microscope. You know, you like I was telling my wife, like you can go somewhere. Nobody's going to look at you like you're a threat. As soon as I step out of a car and go somewhere, I'm a potential threat, and I should be. Like, I think the worst thing you cannot be is dangerous as a man. But
exactly,
you got to give men a chance to be men, and then they get mad when men aren't men. You want men to be feminine until you want them to be a man, but they cater into you being feminine, and then you go cheat on them with the alpha.
Hey, I say who you want to be with when you walk down a dark alley. You know what I mean? Do you want your emo? You know, very sensitive. You know. I don't know. I hate the Second Amendment, you know, freedom. Women are equal to men. All you want to do is going to be like, don't worry about this, baby. I'm the man. I got you. We walking down this alley and I got the nine on me. You know what I mean? And I can bust a hit. So what's up?
Yeah, so, I can let you escape while I'm getting jumped.
Exactly.
And still might not die. You know, that they be wanting a guy when as soon as they walk into the car and the iPhone connect to the Bluetooth, you know, Drake or Tory Lanez coming on. Those are the guys that they want. They want that Bluetooth, that initial song to be Drake so they can feel their vibes. So they can say hashtag, you know, the vibes. That's what they want. And then they get mad at the alphas because the alphas don't want them.
Yeah.
The alpha males don't want these type of females that's out here trying to take one of our sanctuaries away. The alphas don't want them, you know, and that's really what it be. It's more like a cry for attention, you know. It's like, man, we see some
Like, you know, the brothers that get to chill in a barbershop, because you got two types of guys. You got the guys that could go in the barbershop, know they not getting a cut and being there for 3 hours. And then you got the guys that come to the barbershop and they know they got to slide as soon as they get their cut. You know what I mean? When the women walk right past that barbershop and she see all that the gorillas in there, yo, I want to go in there. you can't come in here. You can't come in here. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? And something, you know. So it's I think women, especially Black women, need to understand that, and you can't take everything away from us, right? Like, or yeah, just not even just society, right? They're getting rid of Dr. Seuss. Come on now, like who wasn't racist in the 1950s?
Exactly.
Who wasn't racist? Like, come on now. And then you giving them an opportunity to erase history. 30 years from now, there's not going to be any record of racism.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even going to talk about slavery. So then you're not even going to be accountable to have to fix what they broke.
Exactly. Ain't gonna be no statues. It ain't gonna be,
nothing. Ain't gonna be nothing. It's gonna be a bunch of mixed kids. Look, we're all happy together. Ain't gonna be no, you ain't gonna see no Tobys. You ain't gonna see no Roots. They're gonna take Roots off TV.
Exactly.
You ain't gonna see no Roots on TV. You ain't gonna see no Roller Thunder Hear My Cry books and none of that. And then we're going to be like, yeah, but I'm in this condition because of slavery. And it might still be true, but they're going to be like, what slavery? They're going to debo the hell out of us.
Exactly.
And Black women helping that shit.
And you can't judge. You hit a great point, bro. You can't judge, you know, yesterday's, you know, media, yesterday's books or whatever they was doing off today's standards, man. You got to let it rock. That's the best way you learn is from history, man. And it's crazy because I seen with the modern school system, man, you see such a disregard for history. It's such like, you know, it's an afterthought. You know what I mean? History mm-hmm. class is an afterthought. They thought they all about STEM, you know. And so when you go, ain't there is no greater teacher than history, man. That is like the greatest teacher you can have in this world, because it teaches you not to make the same mistakes, right? That's how you learn to build a better society. Is I'm studying, you know, Mao and Pol Pot, and that's why you see, I think that's why you see such a push to socialism and communism and things like that. It's like, because you didn't study, you know, this history about what happens. And I particularly get upset when I see, like, you know, people that look like us, you know, advocating for socialism and things like that, because it's like, bruh, the minority get it worse. Yeah, you know what I mean? if you divide, if you think about it, bro, you saying, okay, society as a whole, you know, this is our gross domestic product. This is what we produce. We're going to take that as a pie. Think of it as a pie. And we're going to divide it up slice by slice. And everybody gets an equal slice. But we know in reality, people don't operate that. That's not people's, you know, modus operandi. You're going to automatically want to look out more for your family and people you connect with, right? So if you're 13% of the population, when they divide that pie, how much of that slice you think they're going to give you?
You get 0.001 of that pie.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You lack the political power. You lack the manpower to challenge anything that go on. So what the hell you think going to happen? You know what I mean? And you lack the unity. We fight each other about, you know, men and women right now. You think y'all going to be able to unite to say, hey, we need a bigger slice of the pie? It's not going to happen.
It ain't happening.
So you got to be a damn idiot. And if you study what happened to any other people under these regimes that were the minority of that particular country or that particular area, they got it the worst. So it's like, you got to shut up, bro. You don't understand what you're saying right now, right? You don't know what you're pushing for. And I also think that, you know, what we see with the divide is also a disconnect from reality. Like you were saying, at the end of the day, you could say, you know, you want a dude that's in his feelings and that's, you know, very accepting of everybody and is very, you know, emo and very in touch with his feelings. But at the end of the day, who is the dudes with the multiple baby mamas? Who is the dudes that women are going to Atlanta and getting stuck in Atlanta thinking that they got that A1 chasing? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're chasing the alpha. You're chasing the alpha. So you can say what you want to say, but at the end of online for the clout, at the end of the day, we know who your baby daddies are. It's probably the biggest asshole on your block.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just that disconnect from reality. You can't confuse the simulation with reality. And that's kind of what I refer to social media and media in general, man. It's almost a simulation. We living in the matrix. So don't confuse the matrix, you know what I mean, with what's going on in the streets, because it's not what's happening.
Yeah, and the barbershop's one of the best places to get your information from. If you want to know who got shot 20 minutes ago, you ain't going to hear that, you know, on the internet. You're going to hear that in the barbershop. Because somebody's going to come in there and spill all the news. You know, you hear a lot of things in barbershops. There's a lot of opportunities in, like, I want to say, like, business deals that go on in barbershops, too. You know, because this is a congregation of men, and men provide information to other men. Generally, I know men are very, we're very territorial. You know, it's a book by Jack Donovan called The Way of Man, which is a little rednecky, but, you know, it is a good perspective about how we operate as men. I mean, it's like, say, if me and you, we're on the opposite teams on a basketball team. I'm trying to kill you, bro. You know what I mean? This is, you know, you my mortal enemy. But now AAU, we on the same team. You my brother, right? So when you have these communities or these, like, when these avenues of peace for Black men, and not all barbershop are avenues of peace, but we have these places where Black men can congregate and speak openly, because that's one thing that we cannot do is speak openly. You know, when we, to our women, if we speak openly, we're liars or we're just babies, right? You see women, you know, even politically, we speak openly, they attack us. Look at T.I. T.I. speak openly all the time, and now he getting Bill Cosby right now. T.I., what T.I. gotta drug anybody for? You know what I mean? T.I. ain't gotta, you know, these females are flying out to probably go see T.I. What he gotta force anybody to do anything? Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, and so, you know, we gotta, I hope that women, and I can only speak for the Black barbershop, because I've been in white barbershops, way different communities than the Black barbershops, but you know, a lot of times, you know, I've seen a lot of people get G-checked in barbershops. Talk about people, baby moms, talk about people, aunts and sisters, because the dude be running his mouth and not knowing that somebody cousin or somebody little sister. You know, you'd be surprised the level, you know, because men don't always, we, a lot of protection of women don't always come in the public. Like, where a lot of us aren't gold knights. We're not out here trying to save the day. We do a lot of stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah, we're not recording everything that we do for the clout. We just do it. You know what I mean?
If there's a baby mom that's getting beat down by 8 other dudes in the hood, yeah, they probably going to talk about her in a bad light. Probably even prey on her. Probably. You know, but I can say that, you know, there's a lot of Black men in these barbershops that aren't just sitting there, you know, Black men, and for one, we not sitting there talking about gay dudes.
Exactly.
Black barbershops ain't talking about the gay community. I can promise you that. I can promise you that, you know. And so I just don't know where these narratives come from, but yeah, that's crazy.
That's why I say it gotta be a little bit of clout chasing in that. Cause I think once you put certain narratives online, everybody's trying to go viral. And even when you see it, they'll you know, tweet or whatever, get, you know, 1,000 likes or whatever, and then they'll put like their promotion thing underneath. You know, all right, check out my podcast or check out my, you know, my Cash App is this, you know what I mean? So a lot of people just chasing these viral moments, and there's no better way to go viral than to bash the Black man right now. You know, there's just gonna be no repercussions behind it outside of, you know, the Black men and the Black women that support us saying, you know, talk crazy to you a little bit. But, you know, a lot of people in the LGBTQ community is going to cheer it on. A lot of scorned Black women are going to cheer it on. You know what I'm saying?
Shoot, man. If there was more Black women as barbers, they would eat. They would eat. Because I know what I tip my barbers pretty good. Yeah. But I'd be completely honest. If my barber was a solid 6.87 or higher and she could cut, I'm probably going to tip her a little bit more, just like any other industry, bartenders, anything. Like, you know, it's like, you know, stop trying to tear stuff down when you can help build it up. You know, if you want to change that community, go in that community, you know, go be a part of that community, go work in that community and change the space. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of what Kevin Samuels was talking about. He asked a woman if all the men stop working in infrastructure, who's going to take over, like, the power grids and all of these other things that, you know, keep society running? And she was like, we are. She said, he was like, no, man, that's not, you know, like, if all the barbers in the Black community closed today, who's going to fill, you know, or if they quit, who's going to fill those positions? It's going to be other black men. So, you know, if you want to change those communities or change the narratives in these sections, you got to integrate yourself with these and slowly change that. Some of these Instagram models cut hair, they probably be billionaires overnight, bro. It'd be dudes flying across the country to go get even all around and his beard shaped up. So, you know, stop trying to take away from us, man. I love the barbershop.
Exactly. Nothing wrong with men's spaces or women's spaces, man. It's natural and it's therapeutic, man, to be able to, you know, relay relay things among your community or your group or your demographic. So I'll say stop it.
Gender neutral spaces now. That's what they are. Gender neutral space.
And so the last thing I got here on the docket, we're going to get ready to wrap it up in a minute, but we want to hit on Kirk Franklin's son. Recently shared a recording of his gospel star father cursing and threatening him. And some people have pointed to this as an example of, you know, some abuse that happens in the black community amongst, you know, different kids or whatever. But or is this situation kind of being blown out of proportion? From my perspective, the son, it's not an 18-year-old kid. I want to say the man is in his mid-30s, 33 years old. So for that, when I see you, like, you recording your pop's phone call, that in itself lends me to question, you know, the sincerity of what you're trying to do off the bat, right? Mm-hmm. It's like you recording your pops. My mom's cussed me out on several occasions, you know what I mean? Not so much my pops, but my boss. And I'm not recording it for like the world to hear, you know what I mean? Because I know it may be a moment of, you know, being upset or frustrated or whatever. And hell, I might deserve it at the time, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, is there nothing that's sacred or that you keep in house anymore? You know what I mean? Like you should present, unless somebody is literally out here being very abusive and keeping it something that's, you know, consistent and been running for years and nobody's listening to you or whatever. Then I could see maybe you doing something like that. But as on two fronts, man to man and as a family unit, that situation is kind of suspect to me. You know what I mean? So what you think about that, L?
Yeah, man, I haven't heard the recording to hear the contents of what was being said. I just heard that at one point, looking at the articles, he had, I guess, threatened to choke him. But like you said, this is a man to man, you know what I mean? Like I just hate how they try to tell men how they should settle things. You know, throughout history, we've settled things with violence. And that's not saying that he was actually going to do it, but he was letting his son probably know where he would take it. And, you know, how strongly he felt and where he would take it. Now, I'm not saying that it justify abuse, but, you know, if Kirk Franklin's son is in his 30s, man, you a grown man. And, you know, this whole, you know, he probably antagonized him and enticed him to knowing what set his dad. He probably triggered his pops and because he had that phone out, you know what I mean? Probably out ready to record. And I'm looking at the video now and it's a pretty lengthy video. It's a pretty lengthy video. You know, it's what? 47 seconds, you know, that's not like he caught an excerpt. He was, once he started going off, he said, let me hit record. And then he put it out on the internet. Come on, man. like, you know, come on, man. And it's like, I don't know Kirk Franklin personally, but he is a staple in our community. You know, you put Kirk Franklin on a record going to sell. You put, you know, Kirk Franklin's probably done a lot of good things for a lot of communities too. Not saying he never did nothing bad, but why would you want to ruin, knowing who your father is, why would you want to possibly ruin his career? You know, I just don't understand that. I don't get it. I don't understand why you would probably hurt your bank. You know, not saying that the son doesn't have his own means of income, but I'm pretty sure his life wasn't as bad as a lot of people in America's. So I just don't get it. I don't get that. My son never did that. It'd be rock bottoms and stone cold stunners all over wherever he at. I'm pulling up.
Yeah, it looks like just recently Kirk Franklin issued an apology. I didn't quite watch the video, but I see people sending it out there on social media, things like that. So, you know what I mean? That's kind of crazy too. I understand that your audience, I guess you gotta do that for his audience, man. He's a gospel dude, you know what I mean? And he's talking about breaking breaking the MF and neck, you know what I mean? So I guess he had to do that, I guess, for his brand. But at the end of the day, you know, some things should be kept sacred, man. If I'm having a conversation with you, let that conversation, particularly if you my son, we family, that conversation is supposed to stay with our family, man. It's not supposed to get out that, it's not supposed to get out that circle, right? That circle of trust. Even if you don't like a mofo, you know what I mean? There've been times I got family members I don't even like. I'm still not gonna air out any dirty laundry of theirs to the world, because at the end of the day, you still got to deal with this person, right? At the minimum, you don't want to, you know, bring that negative light onto your family unit. So, you know, that at the end of the day, I don't really get the point of his son even doing that outside of, you know, clout chasing, because now you're going viral. I don't even know the cat name. They just refer to him as Kirk Franklin's.
Like, yeah, his name is Carrion. Well, at least I got his Instagram, and I'm reading like a post he made. And it's crazy because he's sitting here iced out. And it's like, bro, we know you ain't you iced out probably in large part because of who your father is, you know what I mean? And not saying that ain't no nothing else wrong there or no other red flags there, but what does Kirk Franklin do? Is he a pastor or is he just a gospel music producer? I'm not even really like sure, yeah, what he does. Like,
I don't know. Last thing I heard, he was doing that that reality show on BET where they was trying to find gospel artists or whatever. I think artists? He's more so in the,
like,
music.
A producer, right?
I never heard of him having like a super church or nothing like that. I think he's mainly just a gospel dude, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so I mean, I think unfortunately when I hear Kirk Franklin, I think of church. And then, you know, if you tie church or what we think the holier than thou should be in a black man supposed to be a devout Christian, I think that just ruins his reputation more than anything. I don't think this situation is him doing anything wrong. It's just it probably sounds worse than it is. But you know, I tell my son all the time, I break my foot off in his butt if he keep acting up. You know what I mean? Maybe that's old school. Maybe I'm not even supposed to say that, but you know, like it's you a 30-year-old man, you know, if you really felt that strong, why you don't pull up?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I'll beat you up.
Yeah, box it out. Yeah, throw the gloves on if y'all need to.
Yeah,
I don't really see a issue with that, man. I'll be honest with you. I have yet to meet a dude who ain't, you know, had a scrap or two with his father. Like, like that was part of coming up. It's like, all right, I got, particularly when you get in that teenage, when you get a little lanky, you got a little height on you, you think you may be a little strong or something that.
Might have caught a couple wins in school, beat up a couple,
couple
easy wins, feeling yourself.
Now you emotional because he done took your Xbox or whatever the hell, you know, your Game Boy or whatever. And you done went on ahead, test that water and felt that grown man strength. You know what I mean?
Like, I can see Mello now. My bad. Give me unlock my Pokemon Go account now, Dad. I'm not playing with you. I can see him now. Trying to flex. I'm about to got a pre-made tape beating some ass.
Yeah, I ain't never did it with my pop, remember. I got a bunch of uncles, man. I grew up in a house full of uncles, dude. Now I tested the waters a couple times, man, and took an L every time. So it's like, yeah, man, I done got me 3-4 L's in the street. I could take this, dude. And it's something different about that grown man strength. But like I said, but if you think you want to pull up and don't record it, keep your cameras in and put the camera phone in that crib and do what you gotta do with your family member. But I'm not gonna recommend, you know, recording anything and putting that there for the world. I think that's fugazi, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm looking at his IG now. He look a little sweet, bro. I ain't gonna hold you. He look a little sweet, and that's probably what a lot of their disconnect is. And I can't judge, but man, it looks like he's living a pretty good life, man. Every picture I see of him, he's in nice places, nice clothes. Even he got on some expensive hiking boots, bro. Mm. You know what I mean? Like on an island. You know, like, come on, man. You're like,
and what do you do? You know what I mean? Is that GP? Are you with mad money? Is that your own? You know, is that the stomp money you run around with? You can't try to expose your pops when you spend the stomp money, bro.
Yeah, you know, and you know, it's probably a lot more going on there. Yeah, it says he's a producer and cinematographer. And I'll go to his business, and it doesn't look like it's popping. So, you know, we can kind of say that he probably is living off of his father's name. to some extent. And you know, you don't ruin the bank, bro. That's why we gonna need to have more congregation in these barbershops, so somebody could be like, why would you do that? Are you dumb? You know what I mean? Like, yo, that's you messing up cash flow, bro. He don't need Kurt Franklin to put a foot in his butt. He needs somebody in the barbershop to be mad, like, yo, your dad is the bank, and you know, and to beat some ass. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you gotta have somebody else G check you for doing some sucker stuff like that. That's a real sucker move. That's some stuff that women do. Oh, let me go record and put it out there on the internet like a scorned side lover, you know?
Exactly.
We're not moving that way. Men can't, we can't be moving like that way in 2021. Can't be August Alsina, August Alsina in out here, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I don't think you sold any records off that either. You did all that, and album still went copper. You know what I mean?
This album was pretty good. There's a couple
of
songs.
I ain't saying about the quasi. I'm talking about terms of pushing it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, because now you know, August Alsina. It's hard for men to sell sex. You know what I'm saying? Like, it, as an R&B artist, like, it's hard for men to, because women don't really value that, right? Like no matter, like, because like, who's the most, I say, marketable man right now? It's Michael B. Jordan. Right. And Michael, they just like, Trey Songz can put out an album talking about how he gonna flip you, beat you down, neighbors calling your name, and you know what Trey Songz is gonna get, you know. But I don't really see women going buying Trey Songz t-shirts or subscribing to, you know, their OnlyFans and stuff, you know. So it's kind of like, you know, it's just a, you know, when it's a messed up double standard, though. You know what I mean? Because like, you know, it's just I guess how we view each other, what we view each the importance of our roles. But yeah, bro, we can't be August and Alsina out here, bro. Can't be August and Alsina, Kurt Franklin, bro.
Kurt Franklin, a legend in the game, bro. Your pop's a legend. You're going, if you're a cinematographer and all that other stuff, you're gonna get gigs just by being like, that's Kurt Franklin's son. Okay, all right, you know what I mean? Like, that's gonna be part of your legacy, you know what I mean?
We should start a hashtag free Kurt Franklin, because I know he ain't want to apologize. We should be like, you good, bro, and we already understand. You know, and reverse that narrative, because, you know, it's kind of like that what they did with Kevin Hart. We're going to force you to apologize and still hit you in the head. Because now you admitted to being guilty, being wrong for something.
Maybe he was in his alter ego as Plies. You know what I mean? He probably was Pliesing it up. He forgot which alter ego he was in. Because you can't tell me them dudes ain't separated at birth, man. Yeah.
Great doppelganger. God was like... God was like, man, I like what they doing with this gospel music down here, but this down south trap music, I'm gonna just make the same person and put one over here and one over there and see what happens.
Yeah, you thought he was running off on the plug twice. Nah, that was the wrong one. So let's go ahead. So,
why have we never seen Plies and Kurt Franklin in the same place?
Bro, I said the same thing, yo. I've yet to see it, and these dudes been in the industry for years now. You would think just off the rip,
BET Awards or something. You would think like they'd be like, "Yo, Plies, Kurt, yeah, look like
one that picture." If somebody could find one picture of Plies and Kurt Franklin, that you might get $1 million off of it, because I don't think it.
On a full moon, Kurt Franklin turns into Plies. And
let's go ahead and wrap it on that note. You know what I mean? You got anything to plug, L, before we get up out of here, bro?
Nada, bro. I've been stuck in my room. It's COVID, really no internet, just all work, no play. So I ain't really been in touch, really.
Yeah, you've probably been fucking grub hubbing it up, ain't you?
Nah, I wish, bro. I'm waiting on this stimmy money. I said I'm not eating no takeout to this stimmy coming. I'm getting some Wagyu beef. No homo, and straight Fogel to chow it up. I'm trying to say that.
I feel you. I don't have too much to plug this week, man. I'm making some moves. I'm trying to you know, get a network going, man. I'm gonna keep that hush for right now, but we trying to do a little something, man. I want to kind of build a little team. So I'm gonna talk behind the scenes with my peoples to try to get that up. But outside of that, nothing really to plug this week. So, you know, gotta say get well, Rye. I know you laid up, you know. Go ahead, shake that sickness off. But outside of that, I got nothing. Just want to say, so on behalf of the Harsh Reality Podcast, you know, I got to say peace.
It's a good OG episode. It's a good, definitely a good OG episode, man.
Yeah, bro, we can still hold it. We still got it, bro.
Yep, yep.
All right, all right, bro.